Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. The Bible reads in verse number 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit," or led by the Spirit, "into the wilderness." And I want to just listen to this one more time. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." And I know most of the time we don't like to hear that God will lead you into the wilderness. We like to hear that God going to take us out the wilderness. And we want to hear that because it sounds good. And you know, I remember one time I was listening to TV and I'd been brainwashed about how God is good. I heard Oral Roberts say years ago, there's nothing good in the devil and there's nothing bad in God, something like that. And I heard John Hagee on TV, this was years ago, he was talking about how, you know, God kills. And it was just so contrary to how you believe, because you figure God's going to come in and he's going to rescue us all the time. But then there's something called the judgment of God, that after you take the grace of God in vain for so long and just say, well, God, you make the rules, but I'm not going to follow you, judgment falls on you. You get judged. And that's why he sent his son Jesus to protect us. And sometimes we as Christians, we don't like to hear that the part that's hard. You know, the part that you got to go through something. You know, the Bible says Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. And I want to talk to you tonight about how do you flourish in setbacks? Not just make it through a setback. Because most of us, if a storm come, we'll make it through it. We'll survive it. But how, as a believer, do you flourish in the midst of you having setbacks? How do you still keep going strong even though the problem look like it can take the best of you or can zap you of all your power? How do you keep coming out of that thing and it's like, I'm still strong? And you're not faking it. How do you keep going and you go through death or you go through depression, but depression don't grip you? How do you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and still fear no evil? How do you do that as a believer? How do you stay strong in the midst of a world that's going down and down and down, even in the Christian community? Because, y'all, if we don't learn how to flourish in the midst of opposition, in the midst of setbacks, you'll be no good when it comes to the kingdom of God. You'll be a plastic Christian that melt in heat. Jesus was led into the wilderness. God's thought patterns is, let me test them. Let me get some things right. Y'all remember the story of Job? Everybody know the story. Where Satan had to get permission from him. Why? When God already knew Job's heart. He's God. We don't know why. Some of us can't deal with that. We just don't know. I don't know why you have to be tested even though he knows your heart. Because he's God. But God began to lead Jesus right here into the wilderness. And if we don't know how to deal with setbacks, you'll always go up and down. How many people you know? Some of y'all is up and down. If you got money, you're happy. The blessings of the Lord is with you. If everything going good, if you wake up that day and you feel good and somebody made good comments about you, you feel good. Then all of a sudden now you can prophesy. You can do things. You can be nice to people. How many times you know people on the job that say they're Christians and they have mood swings? Oh, that's another way of saying it is I carry spirits with me. You in and out. One day you're like this. The next day you're allowing people to wave your emotions. You know why you do that? It's because spirits. You entertain them. Moods ain't nothing but another way of saying those are spirits. You allow these spirits to come upon you and hinder you. And you got to learn how not just to make it through, you got to flourish in the midst of that thing. You got to know how to turn it up. How you think them Hebrew boys, see the pattern, how did those Hebrew boys get in there and say, now they talking to the man who can burn them up and say, you might as well turn it up now. Because we've decided who we're serving. We don't have to see what you're going to do and how bad. That's why some of y'all don't even need to read the devil's press because it don't matter. You buy his press when you begin to read into it. When the paper come to the door, you sell that paper somewhere else. You got to take it somewhere else. But some of you entertain it. You want to know why they're thinking and why they think like, what? Who cares? Why are you worrying about people that can't affect you or can't change your destiny and you wondering how they think about you? It's because you're allowing things to set you down in the midst of a setback. We do it to ourselves. Jesus was led into the wilderness. I wanted that scripture because I want you to see that you can be led into some things. To test you, to challenge you, to make you come forth. And most Christians don't want that. We try to hop out the fire as soon as we taste a little something. Little pressure, we just hop right out of there. Oh, no, that ain't God. What you mean it's not God? Because we say this, but subconsciously in our mind, we're running from problems. We'll say, God, we believe you. But, you know, in actuality, you're telling God, I just want a bed of roses. I don't want to go through nothing. I told you before, if you see a successful story, you look behind, you'll see obstacles that have been overcome. That's all you're going to see. If you see any great, big, anything, you'll see obstacles that have been overcome. Somebody had to overcome obstacles. You don't just get where God wants you to go unless you get some victories. You got to whip some things. You got to go through some things. You got to fall and get back up and be able to tell a story. But you cannot overcome or flourish through setbacks when you got a certain mentality. Are you with me? So this is not so much prophetic, but I want you to know that if you don't understand how to go through things, then you're not going to be able to even see the prophetic. We won't see the end. Some of us, when God's telling us to take the city, we can't take ourselves. Because we're allowing things to get around. And as I see so many different types of people, you got to realize you got to go through some stuff. You know, I've never seen so many Christians that don't want to go through nothing. Every little thing, if something happened to your child or something happened on the job or all these things are happening, okay, the pressure is coming. It's okay. Why? Because greater is he that is in you. How would you know God is real if you never tested? See, some Christians, they'll wave that cheerleading banner. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. But then there's some of us that's on the battlefield. And you can smell people like that. Every so often, you go through something, you whine, and you know, like your problem is different from somebody else. Pain is pain. And the devil will have you thinking, no, you're the only one. You can read it in the paper. You can see it and other things. But no, you're the only one. That's the devil reading. You're the only one going through this. You're the only one that ain't got enough time. Everybody got 24 hours in a day. You're the only one that's struggling financially. You're the only one. Because the devil has to isolate you before he can bombard you with all his little tactics. The moment you think you're by yourself, then he got you. Charlotte, he'll have us sitting there thinking, oh, well, we're the only church out there. So we have to worry about this. No. God is too big to wrap himself up just in us. He may use us, but there's other people. Are y'all with me? Tough times don't last. Tough people do. Tough times don't last. Tough people do. And you know, I learned through this whole ministry thing that you can't trust in people, man. You can't trust in people. You got to put your trust in God. And if it's not in God, then it's going to be proven that it's not in God. Because everything that can be shaken, guess what? It will be shaken. And sometimes we hear that and then we go through it. We don't understand. But the point, God, is, you know why shaking it happens? It's getting you to depend on God solely. And see, Christians, we don't want to do that because we want to use the script. We in the world. We got to use wisdom and we got to eat and we got to do all this. But God is saying, you know what? I want you to trust me solely. I want you to depend on me. If I have to come in 2009 and give you a cloud to follow, I'll do it. I'll provide for you. But God needs a company of people that will solely trust him. See, most of us, we're not trusting him. We trust in us. We trust halfway in us and some in God. But we don't totally say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Are you with me? And when that struggle comes, that's what stops you from flourishing in setbacks. See, the enemy, when trouble or something come in your life, the enemy comes to look at how much of God that you're gripping on, and whatever not gripping on God gives him ammunition to have access to you. Because if you, listen, if you trust God, it really don't matter. It really don't matter. I'm serious. If I die, let me die. I'm going to see the King. Paul said, if I live here, it's for your gain. But if I die, I'm going to be all right. But most believers don't live like that. We live to see our children off. We live to see jobs. And we let all these things bombard us. And Jesus said, yes, we will benefit from this if we seek first his kingdom. But God says, I want to be first. See, what makes us a peculiar, different people is that God is first in our lives. That's what makes us Christians. It's because when people are putting their job and some trusting in riches and some trusting their family, we're saying it's God for us. And that's what makes us stand up and be able to clash with people. Why? Because God is first for us. God is first before our car. God is first before our mothers. God is first before everything in our life. We've sold our lives out to God. We've sold our lives out to him. And that's what causes us to be in 2009 and not agree with the perversions of this generation. That's what causes us to rise up on the school system or wherever we at and say, no, we're not going to have it that way. It's because God is first. That's what makes us different. See, when God is not first, you got a contradiction of our interests. Our interests are different. And that's why when people are in churches nowadays and God is not first, you can get a man's gospel that spices God on top. But God didn't leave the Bible and send his son for halfway people commitment. He didn't leave it for that. Everything God spoke, he was talking to a people that were totally committed on him. Not halfway. He don't write a word and say, well, if they do half, it'll be okay. You got to be totally sold out. And some of you don't believe you can be sold out. Just die. Just die. Have a funeral and say, I'm done. Act like it don't matter. That's how you have to be. I know y'all think I'm just saying this to inspire you, but this is what I believe. It doesn't really matter what happens. If you come home and things happen on your, you know, if I come home and my wife is dead sitting there, I just got to raise her from the dead. How do you talk like that? You talk like that because you trust God. You don't have nothing else. You'll go out doing what God said. If you have to stand up on the table, on the job, and declare the word of the Lord on your last day or whenever God say what, you'll do it. Why? Because God is first for you. But when he's not first, you'll let them talk you down. Oh, you can't do all that. You don't take all that. These people will think you crazy. And every time they do that, just talk you down from what God really wants you to do. Are you with me? If you're going to flourish in setbacks, you got to make sure that you understand that tough times don't last, but tough people do. You're going to flourish, make sure you don't compare yourself to other people. You wanna just mess everything? Start comparing yourself. That's why most of us are screwed up with this Christian thing. Why? Because we compare the model with somebody else. We compare it to our cultural outlook on Christianity. Not just solely on our relationship with God. We get God through church instead of get the church through God. You got to base everything off your relationship with God. Where does God speak? Because the church was put into play to do and help what God is doing and what he's saying. But when you're not into that, you get caught up. You're more into what other people are saying, how they'll view you. I mean, I look forward to the day we get delivered from people. Not even the devil, but just people. Some of you can't even tell people no. You can't tell them, you know, I just don't agree with that. You let people just come and bombard your life. Why? When these people, you got to learn how to set your board around you that is in light of where you're going. Some of y'all still got people in your circle that don't know where you're going. How can they help you? And you still got them around. You're still talking to them. You're still talking to them like they just know everything and they're going to go. You're still spilling your guts with people that don't pray in tongues and don't know nothing about God. You're still having moods where you with your cousin and you talk to them too much. You're still doing that. And all the devil got to do before you even get up, stop working through them. And pull you back down. Some of y'all think you're still going forward because you come to church. But it doesn't help you. Why? Because you got to cut those people off. If you still keep doing, you thinking, oh, it don't take all that. How I'm going to be nice. It ain't no nice way to do it sometimes. When people are confused and you show up, what does light do to darkness? It exposes. You ain't got to say nothing. Just walk in the room. Your very presence exposes it. But some of you think that you're different. You're trying to play the card. You want them to be nice to you and you nice to them. Some people, you can't get along with devils. But some of y'all don't want to call, you know, y'all don't think people are devils. Y'all think the devils ain't real. Or you think it's with other people. Devils are people with skeletons and wear the black jackets and stuff like that. But no, they hide with Christian folk. People who call themselves saved but don't do nothing with the will of God. See, the devil comes so subtle now. And see, y'all thinking, you know, oh, I know this is okay because I'm just talking to them. But see, years and months go by. You don't realize that the enemy got a hold on you. Because of who you associated with. You compare yourself. Because see, in the time of you stepping out, listen now, when you're about to step into the unknown, you know, you get a little nervous. You don't know everything. But you know, one of the worst things is to do that with people that don't have a clue of what faith is. You know what those people are going to do? You better get back in this boat, Peter. Get back in there. You'll die. What they do? They list things why you shouldn't. They begin to call. They begin to tell you why you can't. All that is the devil talking through them. Stop. Don't go with God. Don't go with God. Wait. You can't do it yet. But some of y'all don't see it as the devil. Y'all think it's wisdom. Even though years go by, you still ain't doing nothing with God. You're just hearing messages, buying CDs, racking them up, notebooks full of stuff, and nothing going on. You don't feel like you're in it. You know when you know you're good and saved is when you feel like, hey, I ain't got no choice. I'm out here. You don't even want to connect with people that are halfway out there. Because you got too much invested. This ain't just a career. This is my life. This is all I got. I got those five kids and that woman over there. I can't play. This is all I got. So halfway people that step out, you can't trust. You can't go. It's like you got to come in this with us. And see, critics are always looking and tell you stuff. Well, y'all should do this. Well, we don't want to hear what we can't do or should do. We want you to join. See, some people look at the fire burn, then some people get in the fire and help it to burn. You don't need people to just looking, even though they're telling the truth. Because there's a difference when people sacrifice to be with you. Are you with me? See, when people are not with you, then, sometimes people can tell you the right thing from their perspective, but they don't know where you're going. You know, it's like somebody telling you, if you're about to start a job or start a business, and they tell you, you know what, God's going to bless you, but don't you know you're going to go through tough times? And you want people to be there with you, not just look out and keep. How many know advice is easy? Everybody can look and say, oh, that's that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you should do that. This would be a good idea. You know, I remember Dr. David telling a story about the man coming and say, oh, y'all know, we did some house cleaning in the church. And he was saying one of the men just always nagging about something wrong. And he'd come up and tell him, say, you know, y'all left some cobwebs in the corner of the church, and you need to probably get somebody to do it. He said, you know, God loved you so much, he left you a piece to get involved. In other words, you got to get involved. See, everybody can talk. The false church know what to do. That's one of the responses of people that are in the false church. They are so polished in the old, but don't know anything about the new. And they will sit there and polish the old to remind you of the truths of the old, but they know nothing about the new. And they'll keep telling you, oh, you need to watch it. They give you so much advice. But I need you to get involved. Are you with me? You know why that happened? Because you begin to compare yourself. Don't ever compare yourself to other people. I ain't Fred Price. I ain't Jakes. They could be in the same place with me and I don't feel intimidated. Because they can't do what I do and I can't do what they do. When the anointing, when David took those two slingshots or the two rocks and he had it or three, he had to go with what he knows. And something about God that when you really begin to build with God, you trust in what God used you with. You'll go out fighting. You'll go among the best people. Why? Because you got what God used you with. You don't feel intimidated when God is building something. You don't get around people and say, well, I better not say this or I won't do that. You do what you know God because God is in you. You don't get like, oh, well, I better not say nothing because I think because we in this store, I'll be called Little Creflo until I get enough people. I see him on the rise. They'll put you in this little junior state. You know why? Because you don't know your God. You can go around Bill Gates and all these people with money, and you don't even have to have as much money as they have. You don't even have to. You could have just as much. But because you know you on that road and God is with you, you'll start talking like they talk. Why? Because God is with you. You must have been with Jesus. There's something that when God is building in you, that it begins to cause you to have a boldness about yourself. That's why when people say, well, I'm shy, it's a spirit. You don't let devils run crazy and the spirit of God is among you. You don't care if you're on no marketplace. When you see devils running, you know that you're inside. Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. You don't sit and watch devils and say, well, I think I won't say anything. Oh, that's none of my business. See, that's not a real Christian. We're devil stompers. We go and watch that. We cast devils out. But when you don't do that, you're letting your personality or your spirit tell you, calm down. Don't do the work of God. You're going to church Sunday. You're going to get the CD. Keep going. Listen to the man of God. You didn't give him some money for his anniversary. You're sowing. Wait on your harvest to come in. But don't do nothing on the job. Just don't go out to church and start doing stuff. Because that's what really hurts him. Are you with me? All that starts because you compare yourself to others. Are you with me? Another thing when it comes to setbacks, you don't know everything. So if you're going to flourish, you got to realize that. Because some of y'all think, you know, when you go through something, you're supposed to know everything about it. You're not going to know some things. You know, you're not going to know why the money ran out. And God don't obligate to tell you some things you ain't going to know till you get to heaven. So you got to stop trying to figure out why it happened. Because when you try to figure out why, it takes all the energy out of you and the devil's running all over you. Don't worry about why. It doesn't matter. Why? Who did it? Where did it come through? It doesn't matter. Just get it out. In other words, allow Christ to build inside of you. Allow God to begin to form. You know, one of the things you ought to always ask yourself when you get in something, Lord, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to do here? Because everything is not just a challenge. It's God processing you. What are you trying to do out of this? Don't you know without any resistance, there's no way of proving anything. But most of us, we don't want to go through anything. But you got to realize you don't know everything. You don't know God. You don't know all of God. None of us know. So when you go through things, you can't start just saying, well, I see Sheena. Sheena said, well, I wish this wouldn't have happened. If I would have done this, if I was brought up here, if my dad would have did this, if my mom would have did this, if I would have just took him and brought him here. You go through all this stuff that you could have did. All that is the devil trying to bring up all the stuff. And it don't matter no how. Because by the time you would have fixed that, it would have been something else. You sitting there saying, if my mama just was healed. And then somebody else saying, if my child would just be act right. Somebody else saying, my uncle keep causing stress on me. Somebody else, their brother. Another person can't keep a job. Somebody else is just like you got back pains and they don't know where it comes. It's always going to be something that God has to begin to use you to begin to process yourself. And you don't get to pick it and say, well, I think I'll have cancer when I turn 62. You don't get to do that. Things happen. Some of it we cause, some of it we don't. But guess what? It really don't matter. What matters is that you get to the place that God wants you to go. You got to stay focused on that. Are you with me? Another thing I wrote down here that you got to remember if you're going to flourish a setback is that God, a lot of times, is working on your insides. Most of you are here, all of you are here, because of what God is doing inside of me. And it's your insides. It's not the external stuff. Because I find out some of y'all, most of y'all don't believe what I believe. You really don't believe it. You don't believe it. Because your actions show that you don't believe it. I'm not talking about rah-rah Jesus. I'm talking about I'll do anything. We'll go and we'll say, we'll declare. You don't really believe that. So God is now trying to form your insides. That's why you can't focus on the external things. Because those things can change. That's why you don't want to spend a lot of time talking about external things. You know, I was sitting there with lunch with Anthony today. And he was going through something. And I was telling him, I said, listen, we can talk all day about this, but we got to settle it. You know the enemy is at work. So either we're going to sit at lunch and you're going to tell me all this about, you know, seven times that if you would have done this and if they would have done this, the policy said this, this and that. You can go through all that instead of saying the devil behind it. So let's exalt him by keep talking about him, or let's talk about something that stirs our spirit. Pity parties is when you sit down and you just keep talking about the devil. You just give him all, just hide behind it. Oh, if I would have done that. See, she shouldn't have done that to me. And because she did that to me, I feel like this. And if I, hey, she was wrong. When you worry about who wrong, the pain is already in there. Lord, heal me and set me free. I'm ready to eat this chicken over here. I'm ready to go on. I don't want to sit here all day and worry about this. See, only people that want to throw pity parties want to do that all day long. Talk about this. Listen, the devil has already gotten some of me, but I'm not going to let him get the best of me. See, now you got to start turning the tables on the devil and start saying, you know what? I'm a world overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things. So, hey, you know why I'm going through this? Because God trusts my heart. You ought to say, you know what? I know how Job feel now. God can even put release for me to go through things because he know that I'm going to stand upright. But see, if you sit there and keep talking about it, yeah, well, my supervisor, and you know, she did me wrong, and my cousin shouldn't have done that, and they took the money and shouldn't have taken the money, all that stuff inside of you. I got to free myself from that. You can't hurt me because you can't help me. If you can't help me go forward, you can't hurt me. You got to get free of people. Why? Because people ought to be able to talk because you're in America. They can say whatever they want to say, but there's nothing that can stop me from going where God wants me to go. Who can defy the armies of the living God? See, that ought to rise up in you, but see, it won't do that if you're sitting there counting it, worrying about what people think. See, God is wanting your insides to form, not your external. So don't focus on the external. Sometimes situations happen and you got bitterness in you. You still got a little hatred in your heart. God just using that to get it out. Why? Because God loves us so much. He's trying to get stuff out of us. He can't give us and bring us into the fullness with our insides all messed up. That's why his work, his church has been aborted in the times past. Why? Because they had a form of godliness. They had just the external, the hooping, but there's nothing really going on. See, the spirit life is what brings life. It's not just the spirit and just the word and the hype and the enthusiasm. It's the life of God in you that changes things. It's that life. But if that life is not flourishing, you know, let me tell you some telltale signs of how you know the life of God is not in you. You know it's not in you because you can go in and out. You like this with some people. You like this over here. You do this with some. You feel good today. You're bad the next day. You go in and out. You know why? Because the life of God is not in you. When the life is in you, you the same way with your children, the same way with your boss. Why? Because you can only be who you are. You can't turn the life of God off. You can't go one place and be different. When I'm with pastors or you're with your cousin, you can only be what the life is in you. Your life is it. But when there's no life, there's a form of godliness. Come to church. Let's celebrate. Only to go back out there to be who you really are. It's a form. And y'all, that's what stopped the church from going forward. That's why people don't believe in evangelism. No, why? You know why? Because there's no life transformation. You don't tell. Just like I said, you can't go around devils every day. There's a righteous anger that'll rise up. You don't just go around and be normal. Going on your job, making comments like, well, you know, I can't, I don't know. Now, these people, they've been around. And you letting their faces scare you. See, real Christians don't do that. You go around and say, I'm a kingdom advancer. I don't come on this job looking for no money. I don't come on this job for them. You know, some of y'all, the stop station for you, for the devil to work is at your job. They're just turning you out, making you more madder and hatred than when you get there. Why? Because they've turned you around instead of you saying, why am I? I'm not letting this job get to me. I'm a world overcomer. But see, that's why I'm saying your inside. When you don't believe that, you act different. That's why I said most of you, you got to get insides. Because you don't believe that. I hear some of the things that y'all get frustrated over time, and I'm thinking, you got to get more God in you. Why are you worrying about that? That doesn't matter. That's like a little ant walking and on the floor. You're not concerned about that. Why? He can't stop you. It's the same thing with people who are not in line with where God wants you to go. It ain't no different. But most of us, we allow them to choke us up. Are y'all with me? Let me give you a few things that you got to do if you're going to flourish. And those were just some things that I thought about because it's always your inside. That's why I don't like talking to you from a standpoint of all fixing all the stuff. Most of the dead church pastors, we spend our time counseling external things. All day long, just counseling instead of getting to the root of it. Like I tell you, if you married and that's your wife, I can't go in there and tell you, I'm not getting into that. Why? Because I'm going to cripple you. You're going to deal with your own wife. You get fixed and everything else will get fixed. Not me sitting there talking to both of y'all and taking me 3-4 hours to talk. She's upset, this and that. Listen, if you married like that, then that's you. And that's because you got to get up with her. You got to deal with the nagging. You married her, and I did not marry her. So I don't think it's fair for me to go through that. But see, if you're in a false church, they'll figure, well, the pastor ought to be there. I can't. I'm not God. You married her. You did that. Your children, if you decide to raise your children a certain way, and when they get a certain age, they start embarrassing you and bringing you more shame, then that's your choice. But you can't expect people to get down there and help you with something that they can't help you with. But in the false church, let's counsel. Sometimes, you know, when I talk to some people, I just can't say it, though. You messed up. But you got to deal with it. Are you with me? That's why you single people shouldn't be so hot to be going and saying, oh, I know the Lord. Oh, you better. I said, listen. This is my pastor here. I want you to talk to my pastor. And this time, I want you to talk to my granddaddy. Everybody that got some sense. Say, what kind of devils do you see? It's serious when you link up like that. That's the seriousness of it. You know, sometimes, you get into situations that, and you think that God can just bail you out. There's a difference between consequences and forgiveness. God can forgive you, but you still got to pay consequences. See, some of y'all think that God just going to wipe away the slate. You can't do that. Those of you that know that got children, you know that. That's the rest of your life. You can't say, well, I think I'm getting married again, so I just will do away with these children and go on. They don't work like that. You know that. But in the Christian world, when you go in that la-la crazy, spiritual, dead church world, all of a sudden God gonna sin. You know, I talk to some people, I don't know if it's y'all, but if it is, just forgive me. Some of y'all have children, but you don't want nobody else to have children when you get married. Because God gonna send you a person that don't have it. Because that's the way you think. Well, what you mean? If you got children, then you gotta be able to take something from somebody else. But that's the way we think. God just going to erase everything. You know, there are times in our life, and I've been here one time, where the Lord said, if you don't turn back now, there'll be certain things that will happen in your life that you can't stop. No matter how hard you pray, no matter how well your heart get toward me, you'll never fix this if you don't stop right now. Because sowing and reaping is something that's reality. Are you with me? And you can't change that. But you got to make sure that when God dealing with you, that you're going to flourish. If you're going to flourish, that you got to make sure that you realize that it's your insides that he's trying to form. That's how you connect to me. Not, Pastor, I want to preach like you, but Pastor, give me your insight. Every man of God that I've followed, Dr. David, it ain't got nothing to do with his style of how you do a crusade, if the stage on the left and right. See, the false church will teach you how to have the false church. That's why they want to have booklets and tell you. They don't know your grace, but they'll show you how to have ministry. Because anybody can do. That's how they do in business. Just like a franchise, McDonald's. So they'll tell you, come on and let me show you how to have an outreach ministry. Never mind what kind of grace is flowing through the man of God or through you. It don't matter. Only when you false, you do that. You can do it like that. It's because you begin to look at things like that. Are you with me? And so you got to remember it's the inside. Every man of God, when I look at Dr. David, it's his insides. When I was in Charlotte and I looked at this man for that season, it was like, I don't, all this ministry, people will always come. I want that man insides. I want that poise. How do you maintain God at that level and be able to deal with all this pressure with your family and all that? That's what I'm after. That's the God of the man that I'm connecting with. See, that's how you grow in God. You don't grow in God by saying, oh, I'm just going to be in church. It's the God of the man. Are you with me? Because it's that runs devils away. Are you with me? Let me give you a few things. Number one is if you're going to flourish when setbacks come, you got to revisit the core of life. Revisit, because most of you know it, but you got to ask yourself questions like this, Charlotte. What do you want to be remembered for? Revisit it when setbacks come. Because you have opportunities to go in so many different ways. But you got to ask yourself, what do I want to be known for? Why am I existing? What did God speak to me? What is my assignment? What am I supposed to be doing now? That's what you got to ask yourself when setbacks come. Because the enemy will come in during your setbacks and he'll try to throw everything off. Andy, he'll have us thinking, oh, we're just a church in the community. And he'll try to throw your assignment off. He'll try to mess you up. That's why if you're married and you go through something in your marriage, you got to know. You got to say no. In a way, don't even say divorce. I don't care what happened. I tell Lisa, I say, baby, I ain't leaving you. I don't care what you say. I'm not leaving you. I don't care what you do, how you do it. And she know I'll tell her why. Because you got to settle that thing. What's the core values? God didn't put me with you. And I may not understand everything now. I may go through a dilemma, but I don't understand. But God, I want to hear well done. I don't care what it happens. And she'll tell you, I say, I don't care. You can cheat on me 9 times. I'm going to still be here. Why? Because I'm with you. I don't care. I believe God. Are you with me? See, when setbacks come, you've got to begin to look at the core of your life. Because all this stuff will be around. And we know that life is just not the core. You have the external. But you can't let the external be the core in a setback. Because the enemy will try to get you to major in a minor thing. And it'll throw you off. When the storm passes over, you'll find out you're left with nothing. Why? Because you didn't revisit. And y'all, sometimes it gets tough when you got to sit in there. I said, no, I believe God. I'm going to do this way. I told the Lord with these children that I'm going to stand this way and everybody going against, but I got to stand with God. Why? Because you revisit why God gave you the children. You revisit why God brought these people. See, at some point in your life, you're going to be challenged. Even in this ministry, why you go there? Some people may call us a cult. They may start making up lies on me. And you got to be able to say, you know, why did God bring me here? Because see, if you read all the other stuff, you'll buy into it and you'll drift off. In your marriage, on your job, you got to be able to say, Lord, why did you put me here? So because if I can say it is finished, I'm leaving. You don't want to prematurely leave and do things because it begins to bite you in the long run. Are y'all with me? What do you want to be for? How will people remember me in this situation? Keisha, will they just look at me and say, use a woman of God? Or will they say, you know what? She heard the voice of God every season. She stayed with God. Or was she just a good church member? Are you with me? Let me give you another thing. Get, if you're going to flourish in setbacks, during setbacks, get refreshed among seniors. And what do I mean by that? I don't mean they're older. But get refreshed around people with the wisdom of God. Go and give ear to them. Go sit with them and let them know. Spill your gut. Let them hear. Only people with wisdom. Not anybody, not just people that's in the church. I'm talking about people that you know. Spill it all out so that you can be refreshed, that you let out, and these people will help you pick your pieces back. They'll help you realign your priorities. Get refreshed around seniors. That's why you got to have a board in your life. There's certain times in my life, my biological mother, she was used to transition me. And not in every area, but that particular area, there's certain things I may run by. She's on my board. And I say, you know, what you think about this? And I'm serious. I need to hear your opinion. Sometimes I'll treat her out to dinner or something because I want to know this is serious. I need to know this. I value your opinion in this area. What do you think about that? Because I need to make some decisions. See, in setbacks, you got to get among people that can have your best interest but have the tools to help you. Don't submit yourself to people that are not doing nothing, that they can't help you. Because these are a way the enemy will use them to pull you back into the devil's plan. They can be nice, they can be sweet, but they got to have tools to help you. That's why I say people with wisdom, seniors, people who've been through things. And when I say been through, I'm not talking about been through tough times. I'm talking about people who are walking with God. People who are current with God, who are hearing God and doing it. These are people you got to refresh yourself with when you're going through setbacks. Are you with me? And I wish I could tell you one person, but God never just used one person. I'm your primary source, but I'm not your only source. You know, you have one father, but you have different mentors. Y'all know who you can talk to about certain things and shut it. You know who you can go to certain things, and it's okay. But you need to have those people when you're going through a setback so that they can help pick the pieces together. Are you with me? You know, I wouldn't suggest you do that with unsaved people, but there are certain situations, if you word it the right way, you can still pull wisdom from people like that. But I don't know how to teach it yet, so I don't know. But you got to be able, God will show you what it is. But you can't, you got to learn that. You can't give spiritual things to people that are not born again. I've told y'all that some of y'all family members, you're still sharing things with them that the enemy is able to go through to hinder you. Your emotions are being locked up because you're still worrying about what mama say. What cousin going to think if you don't come to the family reunion? How's she going to look? You got to get rid of all that. Are you with me? Another thing, that you got to do if you're going to flourish. You got to handle tragedy properly. In other words, don't let tragedy that happened in your life throw you off. Because tragedy is going to happen. Things that you don't want, disappointments, they're going to happen. Setbacks like we're talking about, they happen, but you got to handle them properly. Can't let things go like some of y'all, and I'm going to tell you, I love my mama that's here today and my biological mama. But one day, if they go before us, they're going to have to die. So some of y'all would say, oh, if my mama died, I can tell you right now, y'all know people, either y'all or your cousin. You see what I'm saying? We all felt like that. You're like, oh, no, I'm going to lose it. You're going to be the person to act a fool if something happened. Because you figure you got a license then to just act any old kind of way. Because certain things happen. How many of y'all feel like that? You mess with my mama. You figure if somebody do something to your mama, that you can kill them. And you'll be justified with it. Never mind mama was wrong. Never mind all that. You don't care about all that. That's my mama. You'll raise. I remember talking to a lady sitting in Belks that went to church with me at the church we grew up in. And she kept being late to work over and over again. The people don't like her and everything is against the boss because the boss telling. Basically, the boss just chastising her because he tired of her being late. And her mama was getting sick. And she kept saying, if my mama gets sick, I'm leaving this job. And I'm thinking like, do you think those people are going to pay you no attention? And it ain't because your mother is sick. It's because you didn't cry wolf so many times. But some of y'all will go to bat. If that was your sister, you would be right there fighting with the boss. Well, she had to go. You don't know she's been late 15 times. Her track record don't allow her to do nothing. You still vouching for her. You can't be like that. Are you with me? So you got to be able to deal with tragedy properly. How many know death is going to come at some point? Things are going to happen in our lives that we don't expect. But you got to deal with tragedy properly. Cry, grief, but don't let grief have the best of you. And don't put people, because I've seen, now y'all might not believe this, but I've seen people make their mothers and their family their gods. They'll do things for mama and daddy that they won't even think about doing for God. I've seen people, they'll leave their marriage, husband and wife, over their mama. They'll leave them. They'll say, oh, you know, if you and I remember one couple in Charlotte, man, I remember they, you know, he's sitting there, him, the wife and mama fighting, and he's siding with his mama. You don't do that. I love my mama. They've been good to me. But if they insult my wife, I'm going with my wife. Then she got a husband. You think I'm going to be thinking about her like that? Uh-uh. Why? Because I'm connected to her before them. And see, some of us, we not to that because a lot of our parents, you know, they have a negative way of expressing it. They instead of you raising children for them to fly, y'all think that it's okay for them to come back and do for you. And that's not how it's supposed to be. The children ought not be laying up for the parents. The parents ought to lay up for the children. But some of y'all think y'all doing, oh, I had to get my mom. I got cousins right now, man. They can't go to the grocery store without buying something. Mama, you want some okra? Every week. Everything. They can't do nothing without them. I won't even go out of town without mama. It's called bondage and it's called adultery. Grown people. And you think they can't do nothing without you. Let something happen to you. They'll go on with their life. Are you with me? You got to deal with tragedy properly. Let me give you one more. Is that if you're going to flourish in setbacks, you got to look to God. You know, our brother, we got to look to God. You know, when things like marriages, our children, anything, your job, your fight, how many times do you look to God first? Or do you look at the natural stuff and say, this, I'll just do. We got to learn how to look to God, because most of the times in setbacks, God is trying to get you to depend on him more. I've seen people do things and God is not in it. They do it. They go through all this stuff and they just won't. It's like God is not in that, but you still continue. Why? Because you won't look to God. You know what happens when you know God is not in it? Your heart gets hard. The first thing that happens when you rebel against God, you don't want to worship. You don't want to worship. You don't want to get in his presence. Why? Because you know the first thing he's going to say is, you can't get too close to me because you're not right. Go forgive your brother, then come back. See, that's why the false church don't want to worship. They want two songs. Let's go on. Now let's get into the word. See, because it's in the presence. You don't want to worship God. You consume your day with all these natural stuff. You know, even me, I got convicted coming back from Malaysia. All this stuff. It's like you got to spend most of your time with God. You got to look to God. I can't carry this ministry in the days ahead on my strength. On y'all, I got to go with God. We got to know God. See, if you don't count on God, if you don't look to God, your setbacks will become a permanent place in your life. And some of you got to learn how to do that. You got to stop depending on your own works. You think it, because it ain't going to work. It's not going to work. You'll go down the road and you'll see that God is not in it. And guess what? The only people to be suffering is guess who? You. We suffer when we are disobedient to God. We all suffer. We look back and we'll say, man, this wasn't really God. And God trying to talk to you. You want to know how? There's no worship. You don't feel no peace. You feel the devil is very impulsive. Do it now. Now. Go. Now. Now. God will lead you. But the devil is, there's no time now. See, I had to learn that. Just relax. If you can't talk, if I can't talk to my wife about it and the sale is going to leave, I guess it wasn't for me then. Just let it go ahead. I'll take the next one. But whenever it's impulsive, let's do it now. You're pushing. It's the devil. He's behind it. Because he's a pusher. He's got to take. See, sometimes the devil can't stop you, but he tries to get you out of timing. And when he takes you out of timing, guess what happens? Everything goes haywire. Something that God wanted doesn't work. Are you with me? And sometimes you have to just wait. You know how you do that? You look to God. You say, God, I'm willing to do your will. And then you know what happens, y'all, when you start worshiping God like that? He starts dealing with you. And you know what happens? You see yourself for who you are. You say, man, you know what? I'm selfish. I got my own agenda. I'm telling God what to do. And see, when that happens, it's because you allowed other things to rule you instead of God. And y'all, everybody, you got to just recognize. That's why you got to stay in the presence of God, because he reveals you to you. And let me tell you something. When you seize up and you do what God called you to do, whether it's a business, whether it's marriage, whether it's anything, leaving the job. I know some of y'all want to leave your job, but you can't go because God ain't want you to go yet. But let me tell you something. When God introduced you to go to the next level or whatever it is, boy, let me tell you something. Everything will open up for you. You don't have to be concerned. You don't have to be worrying about this, because nobody can do what you can do when you can do it. You'll step out on the carpet. It's just like right now. Some of y'all say, well, Pastor, if you and Lisa was not here, then I don't know what we would do, because God set it out where nobody could do what I can do. That's why it ain't no church split. It ain't no going this way. Why? Because nobody. Why? Because the timing. When you step out with God, you got all God's authority. When you know it's premature, you don't. Your inside, just like a premature baby, the insides are not ready for the outside. And that pressure from the outside is what causes you to abort your destiny. You abort it. Why? Because that pressure. You got to look to God. And sometimes, y'all, we got to surrender things to God that we thought, you know, we thought we was all right. But really, we holding stuff. We have to say, Lord, man, forgive me. I wanted to. That's why I don't tell people stuff until you know it's God. I have this thing, you know, until I got the key in my hand, I can't tell you. Until I done bought the car. Why? Because I don't want to know. Stuff happened. You know, it's just like y'all remember when Obama was picking his people? And some of those guys didn't make it. Why? Because they had to go through a process. Though he picked them, they were God's choice in a sense. But then you got to process. And through that process, you may not make. Many are called, but a few are chosen. Many are called. And that's why you got to, when you love God, you'll say, listen, I love God more than anything. When you're willing to wait forever, you will not wait that long. With anything, you have to just say, you know what? I'll wait. I'm telling you, when it comes to marriage, I remember when Lisa and I met, I was willing to wait. I didn't even want to get married when we did. God was saying, your life going to go in reruns because I'm taking you on. You better settle it. Why? Because I was sold out to him. Lord, anything that will distract me from you, I don't want to do it. Some of you got to be like that when it comes to the business or you leaving the job. You might say, man, I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to leave now. And God holding you there because he's doing something in you. You have to say, Lord, I'll just die to you. When you die to God, the desires of your heart will become his. And that's why it's no two-way street. Like you like this and God like this. When you die to God, everything happens. Are you with me? Come on, let's stand to our feet. Help us to build our lives, Father, for you're in the midst of us. And we give you all the glory. Now, I want you, in your own way, just individually, to begin to ask God to forgive you for allowing things to trip you up, even in your setbacks. Even in those setbacks, just personally, say, Lord, forgive me in your own way. Just forgive you for allowing things. You know, your priorities may have gone off course because of decisions that you made because of something that may have happened. You made a permanent decision on a temporary issue. And you're saying, Lord, help me because I want to repent so that I can be. We got to be in love with Jesus. All our hearts, our minds, and our soul. We want everything to be of him because the fact is Jesus was led into the wilderness. Many of us are being led or in the wilderness. But we want God to be pleased. We don't want to come out there flying our own banner saying we did it. We want God to get the glory, so therefore we have to process. Ask the Lord to forgive you, to heal you and set you free so that you don't begin to go forward into things and mess your own life up. Start the business prematurely. Go into relationship prematurely. Get married prematurely. Have children prematurely. Do things that God don't want you to do. And you know God wants you to do things the way he wants. And you have to trust him. Father, we trust you even as a church, Lord God. Forgive us if there's ever a time that I got too far ahead of you, Lord God, and not focusing on you. Father, help me to be a pure leader, to stay strong ethically and morally in every aspect of my life. Father, help us as leaders to be strong as we represent you in the community. Help us to be strong as we go through persecution, that we're able to stand against the wiles of the enemy because you're in us, Lord. Help us, forgive us for getting caught up in people saying and what the church world is saying and losing focus on what you're saying, Lord God. Losing focus on the purpose of you. To destroy the works of the devil, Lord God. Getting caught up in ministry and not what you're doing. Help us, Lord God, to be in corporate destiny and not individual expression. Father, we thank you for it, Lord God. Help us as a unit to be one with you, Lord God. And Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor for what you're going to do and what you have done in us. As we realign our lives to do all that you want us to do. In Jesus' name. Let's just begin to thank him for it. Father, we thank you. We praise you for it, Lord God. You've set everything free. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for us not getting trapped anymore. Thank you, Lord God, for us pursuing you with all our hearts, our minds, and our souls, allowing your spirit to live big within us, even though the world may look contrary. Father, we'll live and stand for you in awkward situations, when we feel embarrassed, when we feel frustrated, Father, we'll say and do what you want us to do. We'll walk and go where you want us to go. And we will allow you to arise within us. Lord, help us, even when we don't understand, Lord God, to trust you anyhow, to lean not to our own understanding. Lord, we acknowledge you, Lord God, and say, you direct our way. We humble ourselves before you and give you all the glory. For, Lord, you're the only one worthy of it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.